Rock Chalk! Good evening. Guys, it's great to be here. How are we doing tonight?
Yeah,
good! How are we doing tonight? Man, it is, it's awesome to be in, well, I guess New Jersey, but New York City. And I gotta say, I have the best slice of pizza this afternoon that I've ever had in my life. Rob asked me, hey, is there any food you want to have while you're here? And I said, pizza, and it was worth the hype. My name is Willie O'Quinn, and Katie and I really are so excited to be here with you guys. Let me get set up here.
Just come on, bro.
Take your time, take your time.
We're here,
man. Rob and Chelsea have become dear friends of ours. We're lucky to serve on the committee with them, with the Persings, the Rupert's. I gotta be honest, those guys do all the work, and I just show up to those meetings and goof around. So I'm grateful for them, for all that they do for our fellowship, for the kingdom of God, and they meant a lot to Katie and I. And we really are humbled to be here. It's an honor to be able to stand up before you guys. We love campus ministry. And one of our favorite things about ministry is getting to travel around to different groups of campus ministries and share with you guys. And so this is really an honor for us. This is really special. And one of the things that I love about retreats like this and getting to speak a few times is that we'll hopefully get to know each other a little bit between now and Sunday. I wanted to introduce you guys to our family.
Okay.
This is our family. We have four beautiful, hilarious girls. I miss them so much. Our oldest is Kaylee. Next, we have Kylie, and then Kinley and Keeley. And our oldest is 8. They go all the way down to about 2. Kansas is the sunflower state, so every September there's just rolling hills for miles of sunflowers, so we go out every year and take family photos, but we miss them. I met a Kaylee here that goes to NYU, man, I just gave her the biggest hug because I just missed my daughter, but we live in Lawrence, Kansas. And it's an, we live in the center of the universe. I'm joking, we kind of live in the middle of nowhere. But the creator of Google Earth went to KU, so when you log into Google Earth, it centers in on his apartment in Lawrence, Kansas. So I always tell people we live in the center of the universe. But guys, I mean, Lawrence is just a special, it's about 100,000 people in the middle of nowhere, a beautiful campus. The entire city revolves around the University of Kansas. The creator of basketball took the game and went to the University of Kansas and developed it there. So it's a huge basketball school. Our campus ministry goes to all the games. We go to all the football games, all the basketball games. We all live 5 minutes from each other. And I live 5 minutes from campus. And we have stayed there so long because we just love campus ministry. And we have a special little church there. There's about 120 members. It's about the size of this room. And there's maybe 25% of the church are empty nesters, retired. And then everyone else is under the age of 35, college students, young marrieds, young singles. It's just, it's a special place. I love it. That's why we've stayed there for so long. And I hope tonight that we can share a little bit about our story. That's really my goal for tonight, is for hopefully Katie and I just to share some of what God has done in our life. And I hope that can impact you guys in some way. The title of my lesson is Now is the Time. Go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is our theme passage for the weekend. In verse 1, it says, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. You know, God's grace, his love, his patience, his mercy has had a profound impact on Katie and I's life. I'm actually going to have her come up and share her story here a little bit.
Come on, Katie.
Hey, guys. It is so good to be here with you guys. A little bit about myself. So growing up, I kind of considered myself a pretty good kid. Didn't get into a lot of trouble. I became a disciple the summer before I started my high school career. So my freshman year. And life was pretty good. I got good grades. I really excelled in most of the activities I did. I was a great dancer on varsity track, varsity golf. Like, things were just really good. I had a lot of friends. You know, the one thing, though, that really got me was I was a huge people pleaser. So, as many of you know, living the life of a Christian, you don't really fit in. It's hard to really please a lot of people because you're living such a different life.
Right.
And that really got to me. So, when I went to college, I decided, you know what, I'm done with God. I'm tired of not fitting in, and I wanted to fit in with what everybody else was doing. So, I went to college at the University of Missouri. And I decided, okay, I'm done. What are my friends doing? What do I need to do to fit in? So they're going out partying, so that's what I'm gonna do. And I dove headfirst. Was partying 4 to 5 times a week, you know, getting with guys, getting with girls, just whatever I could do to feel loved and to feel accepted. Wow. Rarely went to class, and I found myself getting really down. You know, I was on academic probation. I didn't have the friends that I thought I did. You know, you go to the parties and it's like, yeah, we're having a great time. And then the next morning it's like, who are you? Okay, I don't really remember. I just felt so empty. And you know, I remember laying one night, laying down in bed, and I thought, man, this is just not the life you're supposed to be living. But you've gone so far. How could God ever take you back?
Yeah.
There's no hope. I was really down. But about a week later, I was walking back from a party that I had gone to and was super drunk, but I was walking with one of my friends and he said, hey, give me your phone. I said, okay. So I gave him my phone and he called my mom and he said, Mrs. Coppy, you need to come get your daughter because she's not living the life she needs to.
Wow.
I was like, okay. So that moment has really stuck with me because what happened next was my mom at 2 a.m. got in her car, drove 3 hours to come pick her wasted mess of a daughter up. And when she got out of the car, you know, me, I'm getting really nervous, like, oh, here comes the lecture, oh my goodness. But my mom just embraced me, and she said, we're gonna get through this. And I knew at that moment I needed God. So we grew up with some family friends, and at the time they started leading the church in Lawrence, Kansas, and they said, hey, why don't you come? We're starting a little campus ministry here. Just come. So I left my friends, I left my school, I left the world of sin that I had created, and I moved to Lawrence, and about a month later, I got restored. You know, but that wasn't the end of my journey, and so Willie's going to keep sharing more of that.
So Katie moved up to Lawrence, got restored the same time that I moved to KU. And I grew up in the church. I grew up in Dallas. I'm what we would call a kingdom kid. And I was a great kid, man. I'm the kid that you would just love to have in your campus ministry. Every parent would be lucky to have a kid like me. I never went out. I never partied. I grew up loving God. Katie's the only girl that I've ever kissed. I was a good student. I was a good athlete. The problem was, I got a lot of my identity from being a good person, which ended up leading to a lot of pride and a lot of deceit. And so when I got to college, everything was actually pretty good. I got good grades. I was playing football at KU. I say this because, you know, played is to be used loosely. I was the little white kid that just got injured a lot and sat on the sidelines. You ever watch a game and there's the guy standing on the bench waving a towel and trying to hype all the fans up? That was me. Eventually, I started dating Katie. And was even asked to intern for the campus ministry. But I was just so arrogant. My view of myself was so inflated. I kind of viewed, right, the church was about 50 disciples. The campus ministry was about 10 students. And when I say students, it was just a group of 10 really awkward people. So I'm like, absolutely, I'll intern. You're welcome, right? Like, that's just how I carried myself. And I was just so arrogant. I remember the couple that moved there to lead the church. They also led the campus, this little church in a little town. They were in their 50s. He was a counselor. He had been an elder. So they were just an older, wiser couple. And I just remember telling him, he discipled me. I remember telling him, I felt like I could lead the campus and maybe even the church better than he could. At the age of 19. And so, as time went on, my freshman year was great. I was studying the Bible with people on the football team. I was helping lead Bible talks. I kind of started interning. Started dating Katie. As time went on, the brothers in the ministry would kind of warn me about my relationship, about how much time I was spending with Katie. But I just kind of had this attitude of, we got this. Okay, those are your boundaries, not mine. And eventually, I remember kissing Katie for the first time, which led to making out, which led to feeling each other up, being naked together, sneaking out after Devo, making out in the back of my Tahoe. I was still leading Bible studies. I was still helping out in the ministry. I was still leading Bible talks on the football team, leading songs. Right, because I had this squeaky clean image that I had to maintain. And so I was just completely living a double life. And I remember, you know, I was kind of a spiritual leader on the football team. And I remember there was a buddy of mine that I was trying to get to come out to church, which is just so warped, right? Where I was at spiritually, but I was still whatever. And I remember I was trying to get him to come out to church, and he said, no, that's not for me, because Christianity is just full of hypocrisy. And I started talking to him about true discipleship. And he looked at me in the middle of practice. He said, you mean you don't do anything or fool around with any girls or anything like that? And I just remember that it hit like,
right.
What do I say?
Right.
Right. And that was when it all just hit. The lies had caught up. There was nowhere else to turn. Yeah, I remember Katie urged us to get open, so we met up with that couple that was leading the church. We got open with them. We broke up. Then I got injured. Football basically ended. My grades started tanking a little bit. And man, I was just broke. And I had nothing else but just to wrestle with God. You know, and God really, I think, worked, and time went on, months passed, semesters passed, Katie and I eventually got back together. And then we were impure again. Wow. But this time, okay, we're not going to do it anymore. We hid it, buried it, changed, didn't get open about it till later. Time went on and eventually just couldn't hold it in anymore. Set a time with Ken, who's leading the church again, and I thought this was it. Mm-hmm. Man, this is, you're done, right? You grew up in the church. I remember being a kid, seeing a couple people be disfellowshipped from the church, and I was like, this is it. Yeah. And I got open about, right, it had now been months since this had happened, and I remember getting open with him, and he just said, Willie, I'm a little disappointed, but I love you, and I hate that you've had to carry this around for so long. I still believe in you.
Come on.
And I probably deserve to be, I would have kicked me out of the church, right? And I think it hurt because, you know, you heard my wife's story. She had struggled so much. She had left all that behind, came to KU, and here I was leading her right back into the world that she was trying so hard to get out of. Man, I deserve to be kicked out. But I was spared. And it reminds me, you know, we've got this theme passage in 2 Corinthians 6, but it reminds me of just above it in 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 14. It says, for Christ's love compels us. Because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For Christ's love compels us. Right, so we got married. I had a job lined up. I was going to move back to Texas. I was going to coach football. Katie was teaching as an elementary school. You know how great my wife is? Her dream job was a second grade elementary school teacher. Only the greatest people on earth have the dream job of teaching elementary school kids. But we had all that lined up. And I remember Ken and Esther, they were leading the church. They came to us and they said, how would you guys feel about just giving ministry a shot? Man, no way. Right? One, I am not qualified for this. Right? Time had passed. But two, Kansas? Like, oh my gosh, this little awkward church in the center of the universe, right? But I remember Katie and I sitting there talking and just thinking, how could we say no to this? After everything that God has done for our lives. God, you know, Christ died for us. He took on our sin. How on earth could I just pass this up to go make more money or live in a bigger city? Or how could we say no to this? Right, I think about what Paul shares in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, For I'm the least of the apostles, and I don't even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me. You know, and guys, my question for us tonight is, what effect has God's grace had on you?
Come on.
Right, because you should be able to tell. You should be able to tell that somebody's life has been changed by Jesus Christ. He died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves. And so we were all in. We had given it up to stick around in Lawrence, Kansas, making nothing in a church of 50, just grinding it out on campus, trying to help other people become Christians. Why? Because Jesus died for us, because he spared us, because he was patient with us, because we had been looking our whole lives for fulfillment and for purpose and for passion, and we looked everywhere and always came up empty. But God's grace transformed our lives. He died for me so that I would no longer live for myself, but live for him who died. Students, what effect has God's grace had on you? Right, I don't know where everybody is at this weekend. Right, I'm looking forward to our time tomorrow, our classes tomorrow. I can't wait to spend time with the men. I know Katie's looking forward to speaking to the women. I can't wait to preach on Sunday. But I hope that starting now, that you guys start thinking through, man, where am I at today? Where am I at tonight? Has God's grace had an effect in my life? And is it showing, or am I still living for myself? Guys, the time is now. The time is now to put away weak, half-hearted Christianity. The time has come now to go all in. I don't know if you're studying the Bible. I don't know if you're wrestling with your relationship with God, if you're trying to grow deeper in your relationship with God. I don't know if you grew up in the church. I don't know if this is your first retreat, your third retreat, your fifth retreat. I don't know where you're coming in at, but the time is now. Do not waste this weekend. Do not waste tonight. If there's any sin, the time is now to get open about it. If there's anything that you are giving your whole heart to, the time is now to take it to the cross. If you're living for yourself, the time is now to stop living for yourself. Wherever you're at, the time is now. Gosh, I love Romans 13. He says, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Guys, it is time to wake up.
Yeah.
And so we'll close where we started. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Guys, love you. I cannot wait to spend the rest of the weekend together. Let's have some good discussion tonight about how God's grace has been working in our life, about if there's anything that we're giving our life to other than Jesus. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we come before you this evening, God, humbled. God, I think about my life. I think about just where you've brought me. I think about what I deserve. God, I'm so humbled. I'm so grateful that you have spared me. God, I've given my life to so many other things. And every time I've come up empty, and I'm so grateful that you continue to pursue me. God, I'm grateful that you've brought everybody here tonight. Right now, you have put us here together for a purpose. And God, I pray, Father, just as Christ gave his life for us, Father, that we can give up everything and live for him. God, that we wouldn't hold anything back, that we wouldn't take your grace, That we wouldn't take your favor, that we wouldn't take your salvation, your patience, your love, your kindness, your goodness. We wouldn't take those things for granted. We wouldn't receive your grace in vain. But God, that we would open our eyes, that we would wake up from our slumber and realize the time that's in front of us. And God, we would give it all up. We would take it all to you. We would stop living for ourselves or for pleasing people or for a career or for anything else. And we would live wholehearted lives for you. Father, we love you. We thank you. And we pray all this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.